Here we go. For God to love the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, give it up for yourselves. Very nice. Go ahead, have a seat. Very nice, very nice. Thank you to those of you that recited that verse with us. We never quoted where it was from. What verse is that? That's John 3:16. Listen, it is like the most memorized verse, the most quoted verse. It's the verse that you see painted on signs at sporting events. Like, that verse is one that a good majority of people in the church and a lot of people outside the church might know. And the question is, why? Why that verse? There's a ton of verses in the Bible, right? There are a ton of words from God as we open it up, but that verse seems to be the one that people have locked onto, have latched onto. And I think that it's because that verse is full of some of the greatest realities, the greatest truths that we could possibly hope to understand. Look at that verse if you've got your Bibles open, if you're not sure where we're going to be. It's John chapter 3, verse 16. In that verse, we see God, right? We see the world. We see Jesus, we see faith, we see dying forever, we see living forever, we see whosoever, knowing that if we believe and trust in him, we won't perish, but we'll have eternal life, right? What is more important than that? What is more urgent than that? What could possibly mean more in your life now and in your eternity than the truth that is wrapped up right there in that verse? These are the greatest things that we could hope to think about, discuss, or understand. So I'm going to ask you again. I want you to think about that. And let's be honest here. Let's evaluate our hearts, our souls, and our minds here. What could possibly be more relevant, more important in our lives right now than the fact that God loved the world so much he sent his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but would have eternal life. Eternal life. John 3:16 is why we celebrate Christmas, right? God sent his son to the world, and Christmas is the celebration of God sending his son to the world, and he sent his son to the world for a purpose so that we could have eternal life, right? That's Christmas. That is what we celebrate, and there's reason to celebrate, obviously, as we look at the truth of that. So we're going to explore this verse, right? And as we texted people to try to get people to quote that verse for us, everybody said that they knew that verse. One person replied to the text and said, I've known that verse since I was 4 years old. It's one that a lot of people start with. And so a lot of times it's one that as we quote it, we go really fast because we know it. It's a very familiar verse to us. So this is what I'm going to encourage you. So what I'm going to ask you to do this morning as we open up God's Word. Don't let how familiar you are with this verse make you skip over this verse. Right? We're going to slow down. We're going to look at it. We're going to look in the words of this verse and truly understand and dissect the implications of this verse and how then we should respond and live our lives because of this verse. But before we do that, would you guys bow your heads in prayer with me? We're going to pray and ask God this morning to help us understand his word, to help us understand the verse that we're reading, to understand how, right, this truth from God's word becomes a part of the lives that he's called us to live. So take a minute and pray. Ask God to help you understand through his Holy Spirit his word this morning. Ask him to help you focus, to lock in, and ask him to help us live in response to the truth that we see this morning. God, we love you. Lord, we pray for our time together. God, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, God, that your truth, your word would be opened up to us, that it would penetrate our hearts, God, and that it would affect who we are and how we live for you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. John 3:16. Shout out the first word. For. 4. I'm going to ask you guys to say a lot this morning. I hope that that's okay. I won't call anybody individually, but I want to ask you guys to say a lot. The first word of John 3:16 is four. It's four, and we skip over words like that a lot, and we move past them, right? But I want to remind us this morning that word four helps us to understand that John 3:16 is not in isolation, right? It's not a verse just by itself. A lot of times we have memorized just John 3:16. We haven't memorized the entire chapter of John chapter 3. But this verse is a part of a pretty dramatic encounter between Jesus and a guy named Nicodemus, right? That's what's going on earlier in John chapter 3. The Bible describes this guy, Nicodemus, as a Pharisee, as a guy that's a part of the ruling class, a guy that was probably very educated in the scriptures, very educated in the Old Testament, and a part of the religious group and the religious elite. And Nicodemus, right, comes up to Jesus earlier in John chapter 3, and he says, Rabbi, right, he calls him teacher, and he says something that's profound. He said, it's clear that you are from God, because nobody could do the things that you do apart from the power of God. So he's come and he's confessed. He's done it at night, right, because this is sort of a new thing for him. He doesn't want everybody to see. So he comes to Jesus at night, and they begin to have this conversation. And throughout the course of the conversation, Jesus is able to share with him about the kingdom of God, and the conversation moves on to the topic, the concept of eternal life. And Jesus begins explaining to Nicodemus how Nicodemus, and ultimately how we can have eternal life, how we can enjoy the fellowship, the relationship, the community that we can have with God forever, for eternity. In verse 15, so right before the verse that we all have memorized, in verse 15, Jesus said, whoever believes in him can have eternal life. We can all have eternal life if we believe in him. So as we get to this verse, as we get to John 3:16, we've got to remember that this wasn't necessarily a part of a sermon that Jesus is preaching to hundreds or thousands of people. And this is part of a conversation that Jesus is having with a guy that is seeking him, a conversation that Jesus is having with a guy that wants to understand the kingdom of God, that wants to understand how, right, he can have that relationship with God and attain eternal life. We've got to understand that in context. So it's not Jesus standing up in front of crowds proclaiming it. This is Jesus saying, listen, God loved the world so much that he sent his only son. He sent his only son, right, Jesus, that whoever believes in him won't perish but will have everlasting life. When we read John 3:16 and we see 4, let's look back and see the context of what's going on, and we know that he's talking to Nicodemus, right? So it starts off with that word 4. What's word number 2? Look in your Bibles. Second word is, go. God. For God. God loved the world. God loved the world. Slow down. When we do this verse, we quote it, we have it memorized, and a lot of times we fly through it, myself included. If somebody asked me to quote this verse, I would quote it very, very quickly, and I would say, what next, right? Slow down. Look at your Bibles. Look down at John 3:16. For God. We love to get to the end, to the eternal life part, but guys, we've got to slow down and remember that this verse, John 3:16, like everything else, starts with God. It starts with God. Jesus didn't say, I came down. Jesus said, God loved and sent me down. Jesus here is teaching, he's reminding Nicodemus and us of the fact that there is a God. That it starts with God. You guys believe that God exists? Do you? 100%?
Yes.
I do. All right, look at the verse. Look at your Bibles. If it's not on the Bible, maybe it's on the screen. Look in your Bibles. Get your eyes on the verse. In this verse and in many other places, Jesus teaches, Jesus affirms the fact that God does in fact exist, that God is eternal, that God is the creator, that God is the beginning, and that God is the end. Nothing exists without God. Guys, that is fundamental. That is fundamental to our belief. Guys, we have to believe in the eternal God that the Bible teaches about. It is so, so important for us to believe and to know that God does in fact exist, that everything begins and ends with God, and for us to live in response to that truth. Listen, it's so important. My kids are 6, 3, and 1. Everywhere we go, everything that we do, we are teaching them over and over and over the fact that God exists and that God created what? Everything. Everything. When the sun sets and my kids are looking at the different colors in the sky, we say how beautiful it is. Look who created that, guys. And I say, God created that. When we're at the zoo and we're looking at the penguins and their funny little waddles and they're swimming and they're knocking each other down on the ice and the snow, they laugh and they love it. And we say, guys, who created those penguins? And they know that God created those penguins and that God is beautiful and that God is creative and that God is eternal and that all things begin and end with God. What if someone were to ask you whether or not God exists? Right? What if someone were to come up and say, does God exist? If so, how do you know? How do you know that God exists? How do you respond to that? It's important. We believe it. The Bible teaches it. We're called to have an answer for the hope that's in us, right? How do we respond to that question? Belle's holding up her Bible. We respond with the Bible, right? John Piper, who preached here a couple weeks ago, wrote this on that subject, and I think it's brilliant. He says, if someone asks you, why do you believe in God? You can say, I believe in God because Jesus believed in God. And all that I know about Jesus makes me trust in him more than I trust any philosopher or scientist or theologian or friend I have ever known or ever read about. Right? Jesus believed in God. Piper goes on to say, then you can ask them, do you know anyone more trustworthy or better qualified to teach us about the existence of God than Jesus? So as you guys, right, if you guys are people that have trusted in Jesus, and my hope and prayer is that you have, but I know that there might be some people in here that have not yet surrendered their hearts and their lives to Jesus. But for those of us that have, guys, remember what you're trusting Jesus with. Remember what you are trusting Jesus for, right? You're trusting him with your life. You're trusting him with your eternity. So when it comes to matters of things like this, we can trust in Jesus when it comes to God. So don't run past the beginning of this verse. Jesus could have said, I came down, right, if you believe in me. But he didn't say that. He said, God loved the world so much that he sent me down. Jesus starts with God. Because of God, everything else is able to exist. In Genesis chapter 1, the world began with God. You and I were created in the image of God. Being made in the image of God, you and I have the ability to be in a relationship with God. It starts and it ends with God. Guys, we have a purpose in life because of God. And as Jesus reminds us, as he teaches Nicodemus here about eternal life, he shows us that it starts with God. It starts with God. For God so loved. Say love.
Love.
God so loved. Say love one more time.
Love.
That eternal God that everything starts with, that we were created in the image of, that eternal God loved. Right, that eternal God loves. He loves the world. He loves me and you. Later in 1 John, a different book than this, but the same writer, John writes in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. He writes that God is love. It's not just what God does. Love is who God is. But look back at John 3:16. Look at it. Look at your verse. Does it say, for God loved the world, or does it say something else? What? It says he so loved the world. That's an important word. For God so loved the world. It's not necessarily talking about how big God's love for the world is. It's leading to action. It's letting us know that God loved the world in this way, right? So there tells us that there's an action that's going to come from the love of God. And we see that in the verse. God loved the world so much, what did he do? He sent Jesus to the world. God loves us in a way that caused him to take dramatic action. costly action. God loved, and it drove him to do something. Love in the world today is a little bit distorted, a little bit watered down, and just not the same as the love that we read about here. Think about the ways and the instances that you've seen the word love used. Maybe the way that you use the word love when it comes to relationships with other people. I feel like on Twitter or Instagram, very often I see girls so in love with their boyfriend because they knew her Chick-fil-A order and surprised her at her house with Chick-fil-A. Right? Anybody ever seen tweets like that? Ashley, you're shaking your head. You've seen that, right? Right? We talked about that this morning, right, with a group of students. Right? I asked them how that's described, and it's stuff like that, right? It's silly things, it's trivial things, it's passing things, it's fleeting things, it's things that ultimately don't really matter. When we think about the love of God, we can't think about the love of God without thinking about what it caused him to do. Look back at John 3:16. Look at your Bibles. God loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus. The love of God caused God to act on our behalf, sending his son for our good and for his glory. So as we head into the Christmas season, right, as we begin to think about all things Christmas related, as we pass the lights, as we do the tree, as we buy the presents, as we do everything, guys, we've got to remember that God is real. God is the beginning and he is the end. He's the reason for everything, right? And on top of all of that, God loves us. He doesn't love us specifically because of how amazing you are, right? And you are amazing. Look at the person next to you and say, you're pretty amazing, right? If that person's not, look at the other side and maybe tell the other person that they're pretty amazing. Listen, right? Some of you guys totally shut down the person on your left and leaned into the person on your right. Look up here, guys. Let me affirm that. You guys are great, right? You are amazing. I love hanging out with you guys, but that's not why God loved and God sent his son, Jesus. He didn't sort of step out and look down the road to see, okay, these people are going to be fantastic. They're going to be great. I'm going to make sure that I do something to love them. In fact, the Bible says in Romans that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Guys, we've done nothing. Look up here. We've done nothing to make him love us. We've done nothing to earn his love. God simply loves. That's who he is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love. He's a God that loves us. For God loved. There's an object of the love of God. God directs his love to something right here in John 3:16. Look in your Bibles. Where does God direct his love? According to John 3:16. What? 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 I'm going to keep saying what until everybody says it. Where does God direct his love? God directs his love to the world. Think about that. God directs his love to the world. Listen, when you read the Bible, especially in the book of John, the world is not always necessarily described as a good thing, right? A lot of times the world is described as a bad thing, as a fallen thing, as a thing that we should stay away from, right, and be cautious of. We see over and over and over again that the world is sinful, that the world is fallen, that the world is rebellious, full of people doing evil things. And the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God loved what? God loved that world. God loved that world. Guys, this is huge. This is huge. 1 John chapter 2, let me give you the other side of that, something a little bit different. In 1 John chapter 2, he writes about how Christians, as followers of Jesus, how we should interact with the world. Do you know what he says? He says that we're forbidden to love the world or anything in the world, right? That God should have our heart, not the world, right? But as we read that God is love and that God loved the world, right? There's a little bit of a difference there. God loves the world. And a lot of times when we hear that, we think this, right? Think back to the little kid's song from VBS. He's got the whole world in his hand. Can anybody sing it? Anybody know the words to that song? No, I'm not asking you to sing it, Chan. I'm just asking, like, do you know the song, right? We know he's got the whole world in his hand. So this is where our mind goes. This is where my mind goes, right? When I think about God having the whole world in his hand, I think about how big God is and how big his love is, if it can encompass the entire world, when in reality, maybe we should be blown away by something different. Maybe in reality, we shouldn't be blown away by the fact that, God loves such a big world. We should be blown away. We should be forever grateful that God loves, that God has shown his love to not just a big world, but to a fallen world, to a rebellious world. God loves the world. And God's love for the world is a good thing. It is a good thing. It's the best thing. It's a needed thing because God's love for the world caused him to do what? To send Jesus. Look at the rest of the verse. God's love for the world caused him to send Jesus. He sent Jesus because he loved the world. That's what John 3:16 says. He sent Jesus into the world. His love for the world brings hope, it brings forgiveness, it brings salvation. All of those things happen and are available because of the way that God loves the world. Those children of God, we should love God. We should love God. We should be falling more in love with God, with Jesus every single day. We should grow in our love for God. And because of that, right, we should share the love of God with the world and with the people of this world. In fact, that's what God's called us to do. He's called us to go out into the world to share the good news of Jesus. So guys, God loves. God so loved the world. In the midst of its rebellion, in the midst of its rejection, remember, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God showed incredible love to the world. Now, I want you to remember, right, who is Jesus talking to when he's sharing this? Right, he's talking to Nicodemus. They're having this conversation. Nicodemus, a Jewish guy, one of the religious leaders, he would have understood that God loved the people of Israel, that God would have loved God's chosen people. But is that what Jesus says here? Look at John 3:16. God loved what? He loved what? God loved the world. But there's not a specific group of people that's singled out here. The Bible says that God loved the world. Look back at verse 14. Right? God loved the world, not just a specific group. God loved the world. And in verse 14, Jesus reminds Nicodemus of something that had happened to the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness with Moses. The people of Israel were rebellious. Does that sound like our world today? Can you look around the world and think and see instances where people are rebelling against God? Where people are choosing to do things outside of what God has called us to do, where people are living in direct opposition to the Word of God. Can you think of examples in our world today where that's the case? Where that's the reality? Right? We can see that. We can look around and we can see that. That's not new. That was happening a long time ago as well. And Jesus is reminding Nicodemus of that, that it happened in the wilderness. It happened with Moses. The people were rebellious. And because of that, they're bitten by snakes. They're dying. They're sick. And they literally had no hope. And in that moment, God gave the people hope. He gave them a way out. He gave them a way to escape death. He gave them a way that was full of mercy and grace that gave them life. Guys, when the Bible says that God loved the world, Jesus is telling us that's the kind of world that God loved, a world that's rebellious, a world that's rejected him. What did the people that Jesus came to do? They crucified him, right? God loved that world. That world. As we read the world, as we think about the world, because that should feel personal to us. Look at your Bibles. God loved the world. So when I read that, I've got to remember that that's me. So that I am the world. When you read that, guys, you need to remember that you are the world. Everything that God's Word, look up here. Everything that God's Word tells me about the world is true of me apart from Christ. Rebellious, hard-hearted, sinful. That's me, apart from Christ. Romans 3:23, right? That I've sinned, I've fallen short of God's glory. Romans 6, the wages of that sin is death. I'm heading for certain death, for certain separation from God. But God loved the world. He loved the world so much that he sent his son, look at the rest of the verse, he sent his son into the world to save the world, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but instead would have eternal life. Jesus is our only hope in the world. Jesus is our way to that right relationship with God. Jesus is the one that we believe in, that we trust in, for the life that comes only from God. When we read that God so loved the world, that's the kind of love that we're reading about, a love that gives, right? A love that sacrifices, a love that is willing to lay it down for the ones that God loves. As we celebrate Christmas, as we think about Christmas, as we focus on Christmas, let's let our hearts and our minds dwell on the love that God has for us. It's easy to be distracted. It's easy to focus on so many other things. It's easy to focus on finals or friends or gifts or presents or trees. It's easy to focus on so many other things. We can get stressed out. All these other things, guys. But as we head into Christmas, guys, my hope and my prayer is that we would remember that God so loved the world, that we would dwell on the love of God, that we would let that love of God just meditate in our hearts and in our minds, and that it would dominate all that we do and all that we are, and all we would think about would be the love of God, and that we would live our lives in response to his incredible love for us. Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.